بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. Honorable respected listeners and lovers of Sahaba رضي الله عنهم. Really, it was through Sahaba رضي الله عنهم sacrifice and worry and enthusiasm and strive and their drive for deen is what made deen reach us today in its pure, pristine form. Sahaba radiyallahu anhum looked beyond what was just in front of them. Their worry was that deen must reach to the four corners of the world. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gathered them on so many occasions, and even after Hudaybiyah, he sat them in Masjid al-Nabawi, and he encouraged them and explained to them that, "Oh my Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, Allah has sent me for the world. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بَعَثَنِي كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ رَحْمَةً فَأَدُّوا عَنِّي. You have to take it from me and give it to the world. Oh my Sahaba, Allah sent me for the world. You have to take it from me and give it and present it to the world." رضي الله عنهم. On so many occasions, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to Sahaba رضي الله عنهم that, "Oh my Sahaba, people will come to you from the four corners of the world." Allah's Nabi taught Sahaba how to treat humanity. So Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent Sahaba to the world, radiallahu anhum, and he prophesized and prepared Sahaba that people from everywhere around the world will come to them. I was just reading about that Sahabi, radiallahu anhu, who took Islam, you know, into the areas of Bukhara, Samarkand, Marw, Markh, Harat. This area specifically mentioned Harat. Abu Wahab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Munabbih Abu Wahab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and that Sahabi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu who took Islam far into Constantinople. This was a Sahabi radiyallahu anhu, none other than Khalid radiyallahu anhu, Khalid bin Zayd bin Kulab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He's known as Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu. He took Islam with the other Sahaba radiallahu anhum, so many of them, they took Islam into the lands of known as Turkey today, Constantinople, the center of Christendom, the city that was impregnable, the city that was so solid, the walls of which reach 12 to 15 meters up in the sky. Such thick walls, 2 to 3 meters thick. The city was attempted 36 times in history. Muslims alone attempted it 12 times. But that Sahabi who came with the Sahaba in the initial stages, one was Abu Ayyub radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Another Sahabi who also became shaheed there, Abu Shah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Abu Shayba radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The Sahabi was Abu Shayba al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu. He is also known as al-Khudri. Al-Khudri because he used to sell vegetables. And al-Khudri because he was a brother of Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. The great Sahabi who embraced Islam in the initial stages and narrated so many ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and taught the ummah the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. So this is Abu Shayba al-Khudri. Yunus bin Hadith says, we heard Mishras who said that my father told me that Abu Shayba Khudri radiallahu anhu, who was a Sahabi of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he passed away during the siege of Constantinople. He passed away there and we buried him just there. So where Sahaba radiallahu anhum took Islam to different countries of the world and they sacrificed for Islam to uplift Allah Ta'ala's name, to uplift Allah Ta'ala's deen. So going back to this discussion, that we should remember Abu Ayyub radiyallahu anhu amongst all the Sahaba radiyallahu anhum, because he is our discussion today. Like Abu Shayba radiyallahu anhu, who narrates this beautiful hadith. Abu Shayba radiyallahu anhu narrates this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Man qala la ilaha illallah mukhlisan biha qalbuhu dakhala al-jannah." He who recites la ilaha illallah with sincerity from his heart, he is guaranteed jannat. He is guaranteed Jannat. So Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu is his brother, Sa'ad ibn Malik bin Sinan radiallahu anhu. He was very young also during Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's time. He says, my first expedition was Khandaq. At first my father took me to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that Allah's, O Nabi of Allah, he got big bones, he'll manage. One report says Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me back. Anyway, he participated after that in many of the expeditions like Mustalik and so forth. And all his life he served Allah's deen, and he left this world 74 Hijri on the day of Jumu'ah. And he is buried in Baqi', that is Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu. Now his brother, Abu Shayba radiallahu anhu, is buried by the walls of Constantinople. Like Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, and like many Sahaba radiallahu anhum. I was reading about one Sahabi, Hanzala ibn al-Rabi' radiallahu anhu. One is Hanzala who the Malaika washed. Hanzala ibn al-Rabi' radiallahu anhu is known as Al-Katib. He was a scribe of Wahi radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And he was the one who had so much of consciousness of Allah, where one day he sees Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and he says, Hanzala has become munafiq. Hanzala has become munafiq. When we sit and do ta'aleem of the fadail al-amal in our homes, inshallah we will definitely read this report of the sahabi's consciousness of Allah ta'ala. And then Rasulullah sallallahu explains to him what is meant, and that fear is good, but moderation and so forth. How Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam trains his sahaba and teaches sahaba radiallahu anhum all the way. So that Hanzala radiallahu anhu passes away in Qarqisiyah, not far from Constantinople, passing Syria and so forth. So way sahaba radiallahu anhum took Islam and took Allah's name and took Allah's deen. So let us remember the sahabi Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. In Makkah, in the initial stages, we must remember Darul Arqam. Al-Arqam bin Abil Arqam Makhzumi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's home was the first madrasa. And in Medina Munawwara, it was none other than Abu Ayyub Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu's home. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrives in Medina Munawwara. And what a welcoming it was. Everyone was so happy. Anas radiallahu anhu says, there wasn't a day as joyous as the day we entered Medina Munawwara. There was no day like it. Anas radiallahu anhu says, everyone wanted to welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's different vicinities in Medina Munawwara, like small locations and areas. Ibn Kathir rahimahullah says, like approximately 9 vicinities, kullu darin mahallatun mustaqillatun bimasakiniha. Each vicinity is on its own, and then you start another vicinity, and then another vicinity. As Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived, everyone begged him that they should be his host. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wanted to make everyone happy. And he turned to Allah, and then he says to them, leave the reins of the camel, because everyone was so full of zeal to welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us tawfiq also to have zeal to welcome the deen of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our beautiful deen in our homes. And Allah will reward us and Allah will bless us. And Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't touch his camel. Allah's Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, leave the reins. And the camel is commanded by Allah, فَإِنَّهَا مَأْمُورَةً. And Sahaba describe, as that camel was passing, if it was coming closer to our vicinity, we would become so happy and hopeful and desirous and ambitious that probably we would be accepted to be Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hosts. But as the camel would pass, we would get saddened by that until joy would enter the next vicinity and so forth and so forth. Under the tafsir of the verse of Quran, after أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, this verse is in Surah Dukhan. أهم خير أم قوم تبع والذين من قبلهم. Mufassirin mentioned this incident, I'm going to mention under this verse, and scholars of history and the seerah also discuss this incident in detail, that who is this تبع that Quran is referring to. He was a king from Yemen, and he came to Medina Munawwara, and there was a war that broke out in the past, long before the advent of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then there were Jews residing in Medina Munawwara who explained to this king that you cannot fight here, because this is the land where the final Nabi of Allah is to migrate and make hijrah, and this is one of the reasons why we Jews are living here awaiting him.
And he was so inspired by their explanation and their teaching from the Torah that he also wanted to be from the followers of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He brought iman. He built a home and he encouraged some of his offspring and relatives to live there. That's why it's reported in history that the Aus and the Khazraj came from Medina Munawwara. Many stayed from that occasion because they are the Aus and Khazraj originally come from Yemen. That's why the origin of the Arabs are from Yemen. And relatives of this king stayed on. And he put up one structure, one home. It was a double-story home. And some of his relatives stayed there. And his intention of putting up that home was, this is for Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And it's reported that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu comes from the offspring of Tubba. That same king from Yemen. And he actually wrote a letter addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, bringing iman on Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, wherein he says in this letter, شَهِدْتُ عَلَىٰ أَحْمَدَ أَنَّهُ رَسُولٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ بَارِ النَّسَمْ فَلَوْ مُدَّ عُمْرِي إِلَىٰ عُمْرِهِ لَكُنْتُ وَزِيرًا لَهُ وَابْنَ عَمْ وَجَاهَدْتُ بِالسَّيْفِ أَعْدَاءَهُ وَفَرَّجْتُ عَنْ صَدْرِهِ كُلَّ غَمْ. He says, I bear witness, I bear testimony that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Rasul of Allah, who is the creator of all souls. How I wish, follow, that my lifespan is extended so I can also be close to him and support him like a close and near relative. I'll be like his cousin and his family and his relative and wazir. I will be the one to carry his burden and his worry and his troubles, and I will shoulder his deen. وَفَرَّجْتُ عَنْ صَدْرِهِ كُلَّ غَمْ وَجَاهَدْتُ, and I'll strive against all his enemies, O Allah, and I will alleviate all gham, all depression, all worries, all troubles that worry his heart of his people. I will alleviate all of that and help him and carry the worry for his deen. La ilaha illallah. Respected elders, respected lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu in some reports is recorded to be from the offspring of that king. And see the sentiments of this king. He wants to make khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Allah chooses of his offspring to welcome Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and house Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and care for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and be the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we learn from here is we have to worry. We have to worry that our progeny must remain on deen. One is we have to worry about our iman. We have to worry about the iman of the ummah. And that we must be accepted to serve Allah's deen. It is nothing very great on our part that we do. No, it's Allah's tawfiq. If Allah gives us tawfiq to serve his deen in any way, it is Allah's mercy if he gave us tawfiq to take his beautiful, Pak Mubarak name with our tongues that is so full of filth. Imagine, where did our tongues come from? What were we at one time? Allah reminds us in Quran, O insan, you were a droplet of liquid, and before that you were nothing, not even mentioned. Allah says, I made you and fashioned you. Allah says, I gave you your limbs and your faculties. And all these faculties Allah gave us is to recognize Allah. And when Allah allows us to take his Pak Mubarak name and touch his Pak Mubarak Kitab, how fortunate are we? How blessed are we? And we learn Allah's mercy. One man down in history was worrying about meeting Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah accepted his progeny to be the great Sahaba of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to welcome the deen of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So when we will worry for the hidayat of our offspring and our progeny, that they must also serve Allah's deen, Allah will accept those sentiments. Allah will accept those efforts. That's why Allah give us tawfiq. Respect the people of deen. Respect those who serve Allah's deen. Look up to them. Take their du'as. And through that, Allah ta'ala will accept our progenies. That's why that same Tubba, afterwards when he passed, was passing Makkah Mukarrama, he took some of the scholars from Medina Munawwara and he was actually taking them to his country to propagate the truth. And when passing Makkah Mukarrama, some people tried to use him to fight against some Meccan tribes. This is long before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And then as he was going to wage war, he was told by these scholars that this is the land where Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is to be born. You cannot wage war here. But you should go by the Kaaba and circumambulate and make tawaf and show respects. He went, but then he asked them to join, but they refused because of the idols being there. He went and he clothed the Kaaba out of respect for the Kaaba, and he is documented in history to be the first man to clothe the Kaaba. أَوَّلُ مَنْ كَسَى الْكَعْبَى. Allah give us tawfiq that we also have sentiments and worries that our progenies must be accepted for deen, that irtidad mustn't take place. How easy it is. Just the other day, I went with a friend of mine to visit one elderly lady, a Christian woman. She comes from a Muslim family. If you actually hear her surname, you would shock. And she's a staunch Christian from the church. She says, my grandfather was a Muslim. Imagine, my respected listeners, Allah save us. It mustn't happen tomorrow that our progenies lose their deen, lose their iman, like is happening around the world. And like we can see left, right and center, we have to worry about our iman, our progenies' iman, our offspring's iman. And we have to beg Allah Ta'ala, oh Allah, enable us, bless us, give us tawfiq to live with iman, to die with iman, resurrect us with perfect iman, and keep deen in our progenies forever and ever till Qiyamah. Allah give us tawfiq. Fortunate was Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu when Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam's camel reached in front of his home. First the camel went to the open spot, the open space. It was a property belonging to Sahal and Suhail radiallahu anhuma, two orphan children. And then the camel gets up, goes few steps backward, and lands right in front of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu's home. Where it landed first was masjid. Masjid was first. Afterwards, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, under the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, purchased that property for Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's wealth was used for Allah's deen. This is Allah's love for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. When Allah uses our wealth and our resources for His deen, it is the sign of the love of Allah Ta'ala. Allah make it such that we serve Allah's deen with qabuliya. Sometimes we have to worry. Sometimes Allah forgive us. Sometimes a person can be fasiq and he's used. That's why we have to ask Allah Ta'ala that Allah give us tawfiq to be like Sahaba radiallahu anhum, where Allah gives us qabuliya, the acceptance, like Allah accepted the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Anyway, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked whose house is closest, and Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was so happy and so elated. He took the goods, he took those goods of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and imagine how he carries those goods like he's carrying the most valuable commodity in the whole wide world, and he takes it into his home. And then there was one great sahabi who lived not far from there, Haritha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he asked also to make khidmah, so he kept Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's conveyance. And Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, go and prepare a place for us to make qailula. And then he comes, he prepares, and he comes, and he says, oh, Quma, O Nabi of Allah, yourself and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhuma, come. And they both come, and they have this opportunity. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was blessed with this opportunity. So Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu prepared and took Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in. He wanted Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to stay upstairs, the more honorable place. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, it'll be hard for you and your family because there's many guests coming in and out to meet me. So it's easier for you that you be up and I be down. And then because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu obliged. إنه أرفق بنا وبمن يغشانا أن نكون في أسفل البيت. But at night, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was downstairs and Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was upstairs, he says, I'm now in shock. I'm saying to my wife, how can it be? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is downstairs and we are in the better place of the house, the upper stairs. Now imagine the malaika coming to him, wahi is coming. How can this be? How can this be? And Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu says, we couldn't sleep. We couldn't sleep. And until, even if we had to walk upstairs, we're walking on tiptoe and we're also walking in the corners. So that how can we be above Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam? Until one day, we upstairs, and one vase fell, a jug of water. And now we were in shock. The blanket we had to sleep with, we actually used that to soak that water, so the water mustn't seep through and cause any sort of takleef to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He says, then I mentioned to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ma bittu la ana wala umma ayyub. O Nabi of Allah, we can't sleep at night. Allah's Nabi said, why, O Abu Ayyub? So he says, O Nabi of Allah, because you have the right to be above and in the better place in the house. Malaika are your companions, are coming to you. Wahi is coming to you all the time. O Nabi of Allah, you have to be upstairs. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw how Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was suffering, being above him. This was his level of respect, the respect of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam then went and complied to make Abu Ayyub happy, and he stayed upstairs, and Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu was downstairs. Imagine respect of Sahaba radiallahu anhum. He says, every time we would present food to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we would not eat, even though Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam would want them to eat with him. This was his teachings. But Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu would say that I have eaten, and he would present to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and as Nabi sallallahu, and obviously he would have eaten before that, but now he wants Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to eat, and then he will eat after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu says, we would present meals, al-asha, supper meals, to Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and when he would return the plate of food, myself and Ummu Ayyub would eat exactly where Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hands touched, seeking the barakah of Allah, seeking Allah's blessings. So see how Sahaba would take the barakat and the blessings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One day, we looked and we see Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't touch the food. Yes, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't complain, but the food came back and he did not partake. And that food had onions and garlic inside. And I found no, you know, effect of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hand on it. So in worry, I said, O Nabi of Allah, may my parents be sacrificed for you. Bi abi anta wa ummi. You did not partake your meals. And I didn't see any effect of you even touching the food. Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that, O Abu Ayyub, because of the scent of these trees of onion and garlic, and I am in communication with the malaika all the time. Wa ana rajulun unaji. But y'all partake, y'all have, don't worry. But because I am in association with the malaika of Allah all the time. So we learn the importance of taking barakah, and we learn the importance of respect. Allah give us tawfiq. The way the Ansar radiallahu anhum appreciated Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's arrival into Medina Munawwara, the way they appreciated Allah giving them this opportunity, they will always make shukr. Ka'b bin Malik radiallahu anhu presents the sentiments of the Ansar in beautiful words, wherein he renders, he was the great shair, the poet of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was from the Ansar, the poet of the Ansar. He would render and say, Allahu akramana bi nasri nabina wa bina aqama da'ima al-islami wa bina a'azza nabiyahu wa waliyahu wa a'azzana bin nasri wal iqdami fi kulli mu'tarakin tatirru suyufuna tilka al-jamajin an farakh al-hami. نحن الخيار من البرية كلها ونظامها وزمام كل زمام الخائض غمرات كل منية والضامنون حوادث الأيام ينتابنا جبريل في آبائنا بفرائض الإسلام والأحكام. He says, Allah blessed us and honored us with the opportunity to help and serve Allah's deen. And Allah blessed us that through us Islam was established. And Allah blessed us that Allah used us to give izzat and honor to His Nabi of Allah and His beloved friend, Nabiullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And Allah honored us by allowing us to be courageous for His deen and to help His deen. That in every expedition, Allah gave us tawfiq to be ready and put our lives forth and gave us tawfiq that in our city Jibreel alayhi salam would come with the ahkam and the teachings of Islam. This is how the Ansar used to make shukr. And Allah give us tawfiq also to make shukr whenever Allah gives us tawfiq to serve His deen in any way and to make khidmah of humanity, because really Allah Ta'ala doesn't need us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah Ta'ala has certain people, yakhtassuhum bin ni'am, Allah will favor them, limanafi'il ibad, because they are benefiting others. As long as they will benefit humanity, Allah will continuously favor them. But once they stop benefiting humanity, Allah will just replace them and use others. Like in the verse of Quran, Allah Ta'ala addresses humanity. O humanity, if you turn away from my deen and from serving my deen, wa in tatawallaw, Allah will just replace you with others who will come and serve deen and not be like you but better. So Allah Ta'ala shows us that leave our expenditure for Allah. Even our existence Allah doesn't need. It's our fortune if we spend for Allah and strive for Allah and serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the cause of Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to take the opportunities. Look at Sahaba radiyallahu anhum. Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhuma was the governor of Iraq, Basra, under Ali radiyallahu anhu's khilafah. And Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu had come there. And Abdullah bin Abbas radiyallahu anhu seized the opportunity. Al-fursat al-saniha. He found a golden opportunity to make khidmah. Of who? Of that sahabi who made khidmah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He told his family, come, let's leave our home for someone very special. And he welcomes Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. And he says, لَأَصْنَعَنَّ بِكْ كَمَا صَنَعْتَ بِرَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. I want to also treat you like you treated the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he says, you will stay in my home. Not only that, this house and everything inside it belongs to you, O Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu. Allahu Akbar. Then he asked him, any debts you have, kam alayka min ad-dain. And then because of their close relationship, he got to know that he had owed 20,000. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma arranged and gave him 40,000 dirham. And he gave him 20 slaves. And he gave him the entire house. Ya Allah. What Sahaba taught us. What is ikram? What is ithar? How to prefer others over ourselves. How to make ikram. How to seize the opportunity. Sometimes we can do something, but it has a different flavor when we do it in the correct manner, in the correct avenue, in the correct situation, mawqa, to take the opportunity. Allah give us tawfiq. You have some relative getting married in your family. It's a chance. Make ikram. You have some occasion where there's some person who's serving Allah's deen. Take the opportunity. Make ikram. Don't think there's a jamaat coming to your masjid, coming to your area. Take the opportunity. Make ikram. Don't think we are doing the man of deen a favor. It is actually this, that when we serve someone who is serving Allah's deen, Allah is favoring us. And we must feel that they are actually making our ikram by accepting our ikram. Allah give us the correct mindset. Allah give us the correct perception. Allah give us the ability to take the opportunity to serve humanity and win the hearts and win du'as. There's reports in ahadith regarding someone who would come to a friend of Allah on the day of judgment and say, O friend of Allah, intercede for me. And he would intercede by Allah for this individual, because this individual made his ikram in dunya. This is enshrined in the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So let's win the du'as of Allah's friends and let's take opportunities. Something else very important that we learn from Abu Ayyub and Ummu Ayyub radiallahu anhuma was during the time, during the expedition of Banu al-Mustaliq, the battle wherein Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded Juwayriyah radiyallahu ta'ala anha, the people of Harith bin Dirar,
the leader of this clan were planning to invade and planning an attack on Medina Munawwara. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's wisdom and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's hikmah and foresight, he reached them before they could make their first move. And alhamdulillah, Sahaba radiallahu anhum conquered in that expedition. And Allah's fadl, what happened was, during that expedition, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wedded Juwayriya radiallahu anha. And Sahaba radiallahu anhum were so moved by this and were so happy with this that their share of the captives they liberated, because their captives were the relatives of Ummul Mu'mineen. And this is the respect of Sahaba radiallahu anhum for the mothers of the believers, for the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because they are Ummahatul Mu'mineen. They are our mothers, the mothers of the Ummah. Wa azwajuhu ummahatuhum. These individuals who are relatives of Juwayriya radiallahu anha were so moved by Sahaba's ikram and izzat and respect that more than 100 households and families embraced Islam just through the barakah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's nikah with Juwayriya radiallahu anha. But in this expedition, munafiqeen always hoped for Muslims to lose in battles. In many occasions, but Muslims still won, like in Badr. In Uhud, they tried to participate to break Muslims from within, but they broke away at crucial points to break Muslims from within and to inspire the mushrikeen or the non-Muslims with strength, with internal strength, that Muslims are weakening. So they would crumble the Muslims on sight, in the vision, in proximity to the non-Muslims. But on this occasion, because they realized every time Muslims come out victorious, Abdullah bin Ubay and his stooges joined the Muslims to crumble the Muslims from within and to cause friction and to cause fitna. So whatever happened, wherever Muslims reached, they would always make foolish statements to break Muslims from within. See what Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, or see what the Sahaba is saying. On occasions, Abdullah bin Ubay said, he's telling some of the rich Ansar, that I told you, if you fatten your dog, the same dog will eat you. Na'udhu billah. He's referring to the great Sahaba, the Muhajireen, radiyallahu anhum. And then there were great Sahaba youngsters who complained to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of Abdullah bin Ubay's evil intentions and evil plottings. In that, he also started spreading rumors about our mother Aisha, radiyallahu anha. And this rumor, Abdullah bin Ubay added to it. And he spread it so much that it became a discussion. It became a discussion amongst his close people. And he sent them out to spread this false information. One day, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu teaches the ummah this akhlaq and character. He comes home. His wife asks him, "Oh Abu Ayyub, have you heard what is being said about Aisha, Ummul Mu'mineen radiallahu anha?" Abu Ayyub addresses his wife and asks her, "Oh my wife, who are you?" She says, "I am Ummu Ayyub." He asks her, "Akunti tafalina dhalika ya Umma Ayyub? Would you ever do such a thing? Would you ever do such a thing, O Ummu Ayyub?" She says, "Definitely not. Ma'ad Allah." Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu says, "You, Abu Ayyub's wife, and would never perpetrate such a crime. This is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's partner. This is Ummul Mu'mineen. She is much better than you. Definitely this is a fabrication. This is a lie. Don't even speak about it. Don't even think about it. Don't even talk about it." Allahu Akbar. Allah applauded the Sahabi's teaching, the Sahabi's practice, Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, where Allah revealed verses of Quran in Surah An-Nur, verse number 12. Allah says, after A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, "Lawla idh sami'tumuhu dhanna al-mu'minuna wal-mu'minatu bi anfusihim khayra wa qalu hadha ifkum mubin." Allah says, "Lawla," that what is the matter with you, O people, when you heard such blasphemous statements against Ummul Mu'mineen, why didn't you think good of yourself? Why didn't you outright say that this is clear-cut fabrication and blasphemy and lies? Allah applauds the statement of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu, and he teaches the Ummah till Qiyamah. Number one, respect Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and more so, respect the blessed wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in this we are also taught, think good of each other, think good of our brothers and sisters, think good of others. Allah will reward us for thinking good. And actually, respected listeners and lovers of Sahaba radiallahu anhum, will be punished for thinking bad. Who are we to judge people? Who are we to bring down others? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed people of such evil nature, Ya ma'shara man amana bilisanihi, O those who just recited kalima on their tongues, وَلَمْ يُفِضِ الْإِيمَانُ إِلَىٰ قَلْبِهِ, and iman has not permeated their hearts. Allah's Nabi said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, never search for people's faults. Never search and probe people's weaknesses. Never divulge people's wrongs. Because if you search for people's faults, Allah will disgrace you. يَفْضَحْهُ. You can stay inside your home and hide inside there also. But if you look for the faults of others, Habibullah said, Allah will disgrace you, وَلَوْ فِي جَوْفِ رَحْلِهِ, even if he's inside his home. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu teaches the Ummah this akhlaq, that put the Ummah together, strengthen the Ummah, think good of others, think good of our seniors, stay away from fitna. Habibullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even said, if you defend another human being, another Muslim, if you defend them when backbiting is taking place behind their back, and you defend them, Allah, raddallahu an irdihi yawm al-qiyamah, on the day of judgment, when your case is being discussed on Qiyamat Kedin, Allah will defend you. Allah will defend you. Allah will praise you. Allah will applaud you. Allah give us tawfiq to have this iman. Yes, we need iman to perform salah, to perform tahajjud, to fast. We need iman. But we need a level of iman to abstain from fitna. Because this is such a trial that people now, Allah save us, we do such things for entertainment, for amusement. What is it? How can it be joy for us to hear stories about other people's homes breaking and adding and subtracting to it? We have to make dua that Allah help the Ummah, Allah protect the Ummah, Allah unite every family, Allah bring peace to every family. Allah save us from adding fuel to fires in people's homes.
Allahu Akbar, the life of Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu and the life of Abu Shayba al-Khudri radiallahu anhuma, where they gave their lives and they strove and they left this world in Constantinople. And that's a testimony for humanity, that where Sahaba took deen and deen reached us through them. There's so much more to discuss about these Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Abu Ayyub radiallahu anhu would always advise people, if you want to learn more, sit with different kinds of people. Not only those who you feel are your family or your khandan. Sit with everybody, Allah will teach you. And his life is a testimony to that, that what he learned so much from his seniors, from his juniors, and he imparted his beautiful deen and his teachings of being a student of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being the host of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He imparted this to humanity. We will discuss, because he's linked to Constantinople, more about Constantinople as well. Allah give us tawfiq, time has elapsed. The three quls for him and the galaxy of Sahaba. Wa sallallahu ala nabi al-ummi bi rahmatika ya akhbar.
Have you been to the palace? Fashion palace. They have glamorous evening wear and funky sportwear.
Oh, and let's not forget comfy sleepwear.
Well, what are we waiting for?
Let's go to Fashion Palace.
Visit Fashion Palace, Shop 101 Green Place in Asia, next to Homemade Delights, or call 011-854-5091.